Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, the truth of the Bible, the truth of who Jesus is, what he taught, and let's continue on now. Who is a true Christian, and how do you become one? Now, we've all read the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Well, that's not quite the way it really reads. And most theologians know it. So let's come here to John 3 and verse 16, and let's read a correct translation of it, because in the Greek, it is in the subjunctive tense, which means it is an if clause. Now, since God is faithful, honest, and true, and loving, we're the ones to whom the if clause applies, and we will see how it really reads. It doesn't read as if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Bang, all you have to do. We'll see that. Okay, we'll cover some of those first, and then we'll ask the question, you know, who can be saved? Now, there's a famous quarterback, Tim Tebow. Now he's quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and he was interviewed by Huckabee because he put on his eyes while he was playing, he put these little black attachments, and he put on there John 3 and verse 16. And in the interview, he was asked, well, why did you do that? Well, in hopes that someone would see that and they would believe and be saved. Is it that simple? If it were, everybody in the world would be saved, wouldn't you think? But why does the Bible say many are called, but few are chosen? Well, we'll answer that question as we go along here. All right, John 3 and verse 16. Everyone loves this verse, but it's not translated correctly. Well, who are you to say your translation is correct? Because I did not put in any traditions or assumptions of worldly Christianity or theologians. When it is in the subjunctive sense, it is an if clause or may clause, meaning that there are conditions to it, and people are never told what the conditions are. All right, let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes and believing is a whole lot more than just say, I believe. We'll also cover that. So that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Oh, conditions. Now, you're not told that. Most people run over here to Romans 10. Let's read how evangelicalism has it. It's so simple. All you have to do is stand up and just believe in your heart, and you're saved, and Jesus enters in. Really? If it were that simple, why does the Bible say you have to repent and be baptized? Romans 10, let's pick it up here in verse 9. Here's probably what you've heard from the pulpit. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now notice it doesn't say you are saved. Shall be, showing there are conditions to it, you see. And those conditions are that you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. We'll see that in just a minute. Everyone loves to have God love them and bless them in whatever they do, even if they ignore God. But will God do that? Let's read on. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. Is it that simple, or are there other things involved? All right. Verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without preaching? Well, there's got to be correct preaching. There's been plenty of preaching out there, but as we've covered earlier, according to the ways of the traditions of men, the demands of denominations, the thoughts of preachers who are trying to get numbers and money. And they use what appear to be these formulas here to where people, anyone can be saved just by professing. Why then are the Christian churches in this world so beset with the same problems that you find in the general population? Let's ask another question. Are there false conversions? Well, there would have to be. We'll see what else Jesus said here in a little bit. All right. Come down here to verse 16. But all have not obeyed. You ever heard that? Obey? Do you obey Jesus Christ? Do you obey God the Father? Do you obey the Ten Commandments? Oh, well, the law's been abolished. A lie. But all have not obeyed the gospel because, as Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God, so that you learn how to love God and keep his commandments. Do you do that? All right. Let's look and see something else concerning that. Let's come over here to Luke, the fourth chapter, the very purpose as to why Jesus came. And then we will ask the question, why does the Bible say many are called, but few are chosen? Why are the many who are called not chosen? Have you ever asked that question? Yes, they like to read scriptures like I'm going to read here. What Jesus read from the book of Isaiah, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For this reason, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim pardon to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth in deliverance those who have been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Everyone says, oh, those are wonderful scriptures, but what does it mean? What do the poor have to do when they hear the gospel? What is it that God requires that we do when we hear about our sins and are convicted because we are sinners? Because it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we need the grace of God for mercy and forgiveness. But can we take that grace of God and continue to live in sin? Well, Paul said, no, you can't. Let's come to Mark, the first chapter, and see what he said when he came into Galilee preaching the gospel. Now, Mark, the first chapter, in verse 14, here's what Jesus said. After the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time has been fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the gospel. Now, what does that mean? What is repentance? Well, repentance means to stop living the way you are living, see and recognize your sins, which are the transgressions of God's holy and righteous and perfect law, and be sorrowful and broken up about it, and determined in your mind to follow the way of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and not your own way. Then we see later, Acts the second chapter, you have to be baptized. Now, we'll talk about that a little later as we go along. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe all the words of Jesus Christ? Or do you do like another theological seminary in Georgia, which is infected with heresy, which says, all the gospels you don't have to worry about because Jesus was a minister to the circumcision and everything he taught to the Jews, then since we're Gentiles, we don't have to keep. Meaning, we'll just pick and choose and do anything we want. What are you going to do with Jesus' statement then? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see the contradiction there? Let's come to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Now, when you go through and read the Gospels and understand that Jesus healed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, so did the apostles and disciples. You would think that thousands and thousands and thousands would have followed Jesus Christ. They heard his message. They were healed. But they didn't follow him. Why? Because they weren't willing to obey. A lot of people call him Lord, Lord, don't they? Yes. Hold your place there in Matthew 7, and let's come to Luke, the 6th chapter. Let's read something very, very important. Because Jesus is the one, if you trust in his salvation, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. And we're to believe the gospel, and Jesus taught the gospel, and every word that he taught was true. And Jesus said that I teach nothing of my own self, but what the Father taught me, this is what I do, this is what I say. As I see what the Father has done, this is what I do. And likewise with any minister who's going to be preaching and teaching, he's got to do the same thing, doesn't he? Follow the words of Christ? Follow the words of God the Father? Yes, we do. Notice what he says here in verse 46. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not practice what I say? Now, since Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, and we'll have segments to cover that as we go down the way here, should we not believe every word of Jesus? Let's see what he said. Is salvation out there so simple like we read in the book of Romans? So simple that we don't have to follow Christ because he only came to the circumcision? No. No, it's not. Let's pick it up here. Verse 13, Matthew 7. Jesus said, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it, and many is the majority. You want to know how much people want to keep the laws of God? As I've said before, let's do this. Let's take a whole week on Sunday. Everyone honor father and mother. On Monday, no murders anywhere. On Tuesday, no adultery, no fornication, no gay marriages, no divorces. On Wednesday, no stealing. Oh. On Thursday, no bearing false witness. On Friday, no coveting and lusting. And on Saturday, keep the Sabbath. How do you think that would go over in the United States of America, which professes to love God, wants God to direct their government, has a form of Christianity which denies Christ? How do you think that would go over in America? You think we could ever have a week like that? No. Now you know why the majority will not go the way that Christ says. Now, there are probably a lot of people, lots of people who consider themselves to be upright and honest and so forth, and yet to go to church and believe lies. Now, how can that be? It's part of the Broadway. And many are those who go through it. Verse 14, for narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Why the few? And who are the few? And where are they? It's not like the ad concerning the Marines. Few are chosen. Then he gives a warning. Here is why. And we have covered this, haven't we? So let's just go over it. And I want you, if you go to church on Sunday, if you go to church on Sabbath, now I know there are some Sabbath-keeping churches that won't let you utter a word about Passover or unleavened bread or Pentecost or trumpets or atonement or Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, and if those enumerated days I just gave sound strange to you and you think you are a Christian, then you got a long way to go, my friend. Because those are the very days that Jesus kept. It was like a man who was on a tour to the Holy Land, and they had a lot of Sunday keepers with and most of them were Sunday keepers, as a matter of fact, and this man was a Sabbath keeper. And so some of them noticed that he never came to their Sunday worship services on the cruise going to the Holy Land. So one came to him and said, "What day do you keep?" So he thought for a minute and he said, "I keep the same day Jesus did. What day do you keep?" Now, if you're a Christian, aren't you supposed to follow Christ? Aren't you supposed to walk in his footsteps? "Oh, no, but the church changed it." Is the church God? So he says here, verse 15, "But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look Christian, sound Christian, but are not. For within they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. They do not gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, do they?" Of course not. "In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that it is not producing good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire," and that is exactly what is happening to what we know in the world is Christianity. It is disintegrating from within. Cursed because of the sins they believe and follow. Lacking the Holy Spirit of God because God does not give his Holy Spirit except to those who obey him. Now they can have lots of songs, they can even have miracles, they can even do great works as we will see here in a minute, but Jesus never sent them. So who and what is a true Christian and how does one become a true Christian? Well, we'll cover that. But we have to understand why the world is not Christian when it professes to be Christian. Verse 20, "Therefore you shall assuredly know them by their fruits." Now notice verse 21. This is something. Now let's read this very carefully. I know we cover this from time to time. But the way the world is today and the way the world is going today, we need to cover this so that we understand what is happening. How can a man like Godsey, who rejects Christ, rejects his divinity, says that all religions are going the same place, and that Jesus is not the only way, is not the only truth, and is not the only way to eternal life, how can he claim to be Christian? And yet here he was, one of the leaders in a great Baptist theological seminary. Let's read on here. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' just like we read in Luke 6 and verse 46. If you call Lord Jesus Christ your Lord, are you doing the things that he has said? Are you studying and reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to know what Jesus taught? Are you believing it and practicing it?" That's what Jesus said. Let's go on here. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven." Are you doing the will of the Father? Is it the will of the Father that you believe that Jesus did away with the law and the prophets, abolished them? Is it the will of the Father that you reject the Sabbath and the holy days of God? Is it the will of the Father that you embrace idols, take God's name in vain? Is it really? What is the will of God? Well, the will of God is in the Bible, and if you study it, you'll understand the will of God is not what is being taught in the churches. They're teaching some of it, just enough of it to make people think that they're Christian. Notice, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy through your name, and did we not cast out demons through your name, and did we not perform many works of power through your name? Yes, they did. And it was because of the name of Christ. But they were not teaching the whole gospel. They were not teaching the whole truth. They were adding on all the traditions of men as we have seen. And when you do that, you blind your eyes and you close your ears and you will not hear. Now here's what Jesus is going to say to them. He's not going to say, well, I see that you were sincere and good-intended people. And I understand that in your heart you really meant to do well, even though you were carnal and rejected the things that I taught, and even though you didn't keep my laws and commandments, and even though that you practiced the pagan things of Baal and Ishtarte, which in the modern sense is exactly what the ancient Israelites were doing. The same thing that is called Christianity today is that which was called the true worship of God in the Old Testament. Paganism. That's what Christianity is today. Is Jesus going to say, what a wonderful thing it is that you did? No, here's what he's going to say, verse 23. And then I will confess to them, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't send you. I didn't inspire you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. What is lawlessness? Lawlessness is being an anarchist. That's the ultimate definition of lawlessness. But the most subtle kind of lawlessness, which is accepted by most people, is this. You replace the laws of God with the traditions of men, and you reject the commandments of God so that you can keep your own traditions. And the religion and the ministers and the popes and the cardinals and the bishops and the priests and the evangelists and the pastors all set themselves up as greater than God by observing things that God never said to do and profess that it came from God. Now, can these people be Christian? No. Do they profess to be Christian? Yes. Are they entering in at the broad gate, or are they entering in at the narrow gate? Are they going the easy way to make it easy for people? Or do they understand that in this world, if you're a true Christian, it is going to be difficult? And do they really teach that? And do they really live that? Well, if they do, maybe you found a true Christian. But what about you? What do you do? Seeing all of this has to do with answering the question, who is a real Christian today, and how do you become one? Well, we'll continue on with more segments concerning that topic, and we'll show you who is a true Christian and how you become one, as defined by the Bible. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and once again, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.